Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Hello, Stevie Ray bringing us back the late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan. 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my website's smallbusinessadvocate.com. The one from my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. The Secret World of Money is Andrew Goss's, one of his books. Uncle Sam Cooks the Books is another one with the name Andrew Goss, G-A-U-S-E, on it. Andrew is our guest this hour, this half hour, and great member of our brain trust, a monetary expert, a gold expert. Some people might call you a gold bug, right, Andrew?
Well, yeah, no. You know, a gold bug tells you to sell everything you own and buy gold. Because,
there you go.
You know, right? I'm more like you should diversify. If you have stocks,
right,
you have bonds, you have real estate, you probably should have a little gold. If you don't have any of the others, well, then what the heck does it matter anyway? So, no, I'm not a hard gold bug. In fact, Dr. Gary North called me an intellectual schizophrenic. Because even though I understand the need for sound money, I really believe that government should have the power to go short dollars by issuing notes. So rather than issuing bonds at interest, they simply print the money and then take it out of the next year's tax revenue. That's the way we've always done it. This idea that we need a central bank in the middle to issue money at interest is... that's a new phenomenon. That's only a 20th century
thing. So
do you think
we'd be better off without the Fed?
Well, I think the Fed's operations would be better served in the Treasury of the United States. That's what the Treasury's about.
Right.
And so, you know, they operate in the best interest of the people, and they do things for the people, and when there's profit, it accrues to the people. And how would the Treasury feel, you think, if they had, let's say, 47 Learjets, or if they had 74 six-figure vice presidents, or if they had subsidized dining, or the pensions that the Fed offers. You know, this is all off the books, and it really soaks up a lot of the nation's tax revenue. I think we spent $257 billion on interest last year. The Fed gave us a rebate of about $55 billion, but still, why are we paying to have our own money in circulation? I don't understand.
That's a good point. So when people call you to get you to help them hedge against uncertainty, as you call it, what do they typically tell you they're worried about?
Everything. What do you want to look at? Worker participation, you know, the unemployment rate, the people that are not even looking for jobs, is higher than it ever was since we've been keeping those records.
Highest since Carter.
Oh, indeed, yeah. I mean, go back as far as you want. You'd have to go back to 1962, I believe, to find lower worker participation. And then monetary velocity, the amount of times that a dollar turns over, again, you know, 50-year lows, it's never been this low. The Baltic Dry Index, that shipping thing, where open ships, empty ships, ready to export our goods.
Right.
Bottom of the scale, you know, it was at 13,000 in 2008. It's like 250 now. That's the type of plunge, excuse me. It was bottomed at 250 in February.
Right.
Now it's around 500. But still, a huge plunge in our supposed exports. Our trade deficit, enormous. $1 billion a day. And our debt, my goodness, the deficit for the first half of the year puts us on track for $1.25 trillion.
And so when they come to you and if they know all these things, and they say to you, "Help me hedge," what do you tell them to do?
Gold coins, gold and silver coins, American $20 gold pieces, silver dollars, half dollars,
coins rather than bullion.
Oh, goodness, yeah. You remember in 1933, Franklin Roosevelt, his answer to the problem was, everybody turn in your gold at, you know, $1,250, wherever it is today, and then 2 weeks later it was $2,500 equivalent. It went from 20 an ounce to 40 an ounce in a period of nothing. And so the government got all the gold, we got a bunch more paper, and the game continued. But for an individual...
Why do you say coins... Why do you recommend coins over bullion?
Because in 1950, when it was completely illegal to own gold, you would go to jail. It was like a contraband.
Right.
You could sell a $20 gold piece on the steps of the Supreme Court to the Attorney General.
It's so you're saying that when you couldn't own gold, you could own coins.
Right, because it was money. See, believe
that's
it or
what
not,
a lot of people don't $20 realize.
Gold pieces.
That's what a lot of people don't realize. What a lot of people don't realize is that even though there was a time when you couldn't own gold, you could own coins.
Yeah, and silver. When Johnson made it illegal to own silver, you could keep your silver dollars, you keep your silver half dollars, but bars of silver, bars of gold, they had to be turned over. And they didn't just take it. Now, to be fair, they gave you the $1.29 an ounce in the case of silver, and the $20 an ounce in the case of gold. But look at it now. So, yeah, we talk about $20 gold pieces, silver dollars, not the really.
So you recommend the U.S. $20 gold piece over say a Krugerrand or something like that?
Oh, strictly. Strictly, if you remember, the first thing Nixon did was wage and price controls and then flight of capital. So you couldn't own foreign currency. And if you could try to convert it back to dollars, you were in trouble. So, no, not Krugerrands, not Maple Leafs, American gold and silver coins. And it's because of Article 1 of the Constitution. It says, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debt. That's kind of the loophole that lets you hold $20 gold pieces when no one else can own gold.
What should you pay for a $20 gold piece today?
Well, in its worst condition, no more than 10% over the gold in its premium certified, you know, museum perfect condition. Goodness, they're like 10 grand. But those aren't the ones I'm advocating.
So a gold coin doesn't just have the intrinsic value of the metal. It also has a collectability value, too.
You bet. The fact that it was issued in 1924.
Hold on to that thought. We'll take a quick break. More to come with Andrew Goss. Right after these messages, I'm Jim Blasikowski.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.